Whether you're looking for answers to specific life questions or seeking to become the best version of you possible, welcome to the Mental Breakdown and Psych Reg podcast, where we offer insight, information, and strategies based upon research and years of practice as clinical psychologists. So sit back, have a listen, and get connected with our hosts, Dr. Bernie Wilkinson and Dr. Richard Marshall. Welcome back, Richard.
You know what I'm going to say today.
Right? I know what you're going to say.
Good morning. What day is it today?
I am so happy that we're going to talk about this today.
I was
today.
About to get that right. What day is it today?
The day we're recording or the day it's going to post? Because as of right now, you are probably, as of the day that this posts, you're probably flying back from Arizona.
That would be right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we are...
Except for the time delay.
Right. So, okay. But today we're going to talk about smartphones. And this article, of course, this article caught our eye because of the title. And, you know, there is something about the title of an article that, you know, if you get the right title, you're going to catch readers. Yeah?
They caught me.
Yeah. It's called Smartphone Use in America. Is it contributing to cognitive decline?
Yeah, this is an issue that many people ask us about right. when we do talks, when mm-hmm. we do patients. What is all of this phone use? Mm-hmm. Most people are concerned about their children. Some right. are concerned about spouses. Mm-hmm. Most are concerned about children, especially teenagers. And is the cell phone affecting cognitive decline in any right. way? Is yeah. it affecting cognitive abilities in some way?
Right. Yeah, there's a lot of talk about cell phone use and you know, that segues very easily into the use of social media and gaming and some of those kinds right. of things as well. So,
yeah, because we have, and then the whole issue of addiction,
right?
Okay, and we've talked about that yeah. many times on the program: the internet, social media, mm-hmm. video games, and smartphones.
Right,
and are these things causing any decrements or any declines in cognitive abilities?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So yeah. one is addiction, and one is, are there any negative effects?
Right. So we're going to kind of go through this column today, this article today. It's from the blog World of Psychology mm-hmm. at Psych Central. So right. psychcentral.com, they have different blogs, and this blog is called World of Psychology. Right. And so Suzanne Cain
yes.
wrote this article mm-hmm. about smartphone use in America. And so we're going to, she has a lot of points here that I think are important for us to talk about. And so that's why we're going to spend a little bit more time kind of digging into this a little bit.
But before that, and this is commercial free, so we're not going to take, before that, we have to break for a commercial. No, none of that. First smartphone.
Uh-huh.
When did smartphones first appear? I don't mean to put you on the spot. Nobody knows this.
I think it was, not the
iPhone. Right. The iPhone was not the first smartphone.
Right.
I didn't know that.
It was probably the late 90s?
Early 90s.
Early 90s?
Yes. IBM created...
At the decade, right?
Which is actually very good, because the iPhone didn't come out until 2007.
Right.
So it's 10 years... It had a 10-year mm-hmm. anniversary. Yeah, the iPhone 10 would be coming out, right? Mm-hmm. Is that correlated?
No.
Okay.
I don't know that the X is supposed to mean 10.
Okay.
I don't know.
But the iPhone is 10 years old. Okay. But the smartphone, mm-hmm. the first smartphone was developed in 1992 by IBM. Mm. And it was about the size of a portable phone that you would have in your house, a cord-free.
You're right.
Okay.
Right.
It was about that size. It would fit in a little bit larger than the palm of your hand. But it did most of the things that an iPhone does, but it had a stylus mm-hmm. instead mm-hmm. of a touch screen. I think what right. the iPhone brought was the touch screen.
Right.
I think that was the part of the new technology, plus faster software. But yeah, it appeared in 92, and there was another one in 1995. But they were based on those old...
PDAs.
The PDAs, mm-hmm. which stands for Personal Digital Assistant,
right.
like the Palm Pilot and mm-hmm. those sorts of things, which had a stylus and you could keep track of your calendar right. and notes and all that sort of stuff. So the smartphone, the original smartphone, there were 50,000 of them sold in 1992. I had no idea. They were about $1,400 or something. In today's, today would be comparable to $1,400. But the iPhone 8... which just came out, is bumping toward $1,000.
Yeah. Right?
So, so I didn't know that.
Yeah. So, so they've been around for a while.
Right. But it really took off in 2007.
Right.
With the
in the mid 2000s with the Apple phones, but also with, you know, as Samsung got on board and some of these other providers got on board, and they started creating, you know, touchscreen really.
That was the game changer.
Right, right. Yep. Because remember, before then we had the Blackberries. And not blueberries, Blackberries, and all
flip
that
flip phones
and the sliders that would slide up, and it had the big keyboard and everything. So.
Wow, I forgot about those. My kids would have those. Mm-hmm. But you're right, the BlackBerry, which was one of the early cell phones.
Right.
So there's the smartphone, the cell phone, and then the iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so we could text, but it was cumbersome.
Oh, it was awful.
Wasn't it?
Yeah.
Because you'd have four letters on one pad, one touch.
Well, you'd have all six because you'd have the three letters associated with each number, but then you'd have them in lowercase and uppercase,
oh,
and so you'd
right.
have to kind of flip through them fast. Yeah. Man, people got fast on it.
I never did that with the flip phones. I didn't text then. I just refused.
Watching you text now, I could only imagine what that would have been like.
Why do I text now? Why?
So today we're going to talk about...
Wait a minute. I have to ask you a question.
What?
What about it? What about my texting?
You, nothing. You're deliberate. Is that a nice way to say slow?
No, the reason I ask that is because recently,
recently,
a couple months ago,
maybe
6 months ago, I learned how to do thumbs.
I know.
Before that, it's not funny.
It's a little funny. It's a little funny.
You shouldn't make fun of your friends. That another story.
It is another story.
Have you really been? Never mind. You are. You have been.
Are you uncomfortable?
I am now.
Well,
so
you are always being watched. Let's just say that
I'm catching up. But I did. I did learn to do opposable thumbs.
Yes, you have. You have achieved great ape status.
Great ape.
And so now.
I am a primate.
All right.
So, but that's part of the reason this interests me, because we have a digital divide between us, worlds apart. I have always been concerned about this because with children who have ADHD is one of the issues that I worry about, you know, how is it affecting them? My first concern was how the, and there were early articles written about this, is how the... smartphone, iPhone, was affecting marriages because it was the beginning of people bringing their phones or iPads to bed with them, and there was a plethora of articles that came out about the damage that these devices can do to a marriage if you become over reliant on them.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like having a, it's like somebody, it's like a third person in your relationship.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, and that was the other concern.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, so, but the some of the things that Suzanne Cain mentions in this article, I think are really important things for us to talk about. Because, you know, we can certainly see the positive side of smartphones and their availability. But we do have to make sure that we consider some of the as you always say, the unintended consequences, the unexpected or unforeseen consequences of some of this availability.
The advantages and the benefits of these, we don't really even need to talk about it. I mean, the ability to stay in touch with your children or to contact people immediately or to use in emergencies.
Right.
There were two women rescued yesterday. They were stranded at sea for 5 months. On a sailboat that the mast had was no longer working, and it was flooded, so they didn't have a radio. She lost their cell phone the first day. It was washed off the deck, and so had they had a cell phone, they would have been rescued almost immediately,
right?
Because it was a satellite phone, and they could have called.
Mm-hmm.
But without a cell phone, they've been out there for 5 months. They were finally rescued by a fishing boat. Finally saw them, and then a U.S. Navy vessel was nearby and went and picked them up. But cell phones have great benefits.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So given we acknowledge all the positives,
exactly.
and we'll kind of mention some of the positives exactly. as we're going through some of these right. concerns, mm-hmm. It is important to highlight the concerns and make sure that we think about ways to overcome the concerns. And because right. if we look at the first one that she mentions here,
well, but the first thing she talks about is she differentiates heavy users from average users.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And I think that's really important too.
Yeah, I suppose you should mention
that first. And this surprised me. We were talking about this in class last mm-hmm. night, and I was trying to remember the number, and I had forgotten that it's in the thousands.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Heavy user? Do you actually... You no. don't use your phone that much.
No, I don't use my phone that much.
I mean, when we say that much, it's 5,000 times a day.
Right. They touch their devices 5,427 times daily on average. Compared to what she refers to as average users, that's 2,600.
If somebody asked you, just curious, how often do you, I don't know what question you would ask, touch, use your yeah. cell phone in a day, what would you guess?
I don't know.
A few hundred?
I don't know.
Nowhere near 2,000.
Well, I think it depends because, let's say you're playing a game. All right. If you're playing a game, there are games where you have to touch it.
You
frequently.
Mean each touch?
That's what it says. It says they touch their devices an average of 5,427 times a day. If you're dialing a phone number, there's 10 times okay. that you're touching it.
So it's not just picking it up for a particular. It
right.
could every time you touch.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
So it's not.
That okay. That makes a little more sense.
Yeah. Yeah, and so if you're texting,
yeah, or you're like playing a game.
If you're sending tweets out all day long,
every time I hear that, I get a little twinge.
I know you do. That's why I mentioned it.
Because,
so every time you touch it, that counts. Okay. According to this
so
that makes, numeric that she has.
So the heavy user, and that's what she's talking about here. She's
right.
talking about the heavy users,
right?
That they use it what 5,000, almost 5,500 times.
Right.
Per day, okay.
Right, so heavy users touch their phone twice as much a day
right.
as average users.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And I would be an average or below.
Right.
And you would be average
maybe
or above.
Average. Yeah.
I don't think
yeah.
you're a heavy user.
No, I don't think I'm a heavy user. We can't be heavy users. I mean, we have sessions that last an hour, so we
right. You just wouldn't have.
There's like 55 minutes every hour that I don't right. even get to touch my phone. It's painful.
No, don't say that.
No, it's fine. Okay. So, but you know, they're talking clearly about folks here that are on it consistently all throughout
right.
the day.
But the top 10% of heavy users average 132 separate phone sessions daily.
Right.
No. I don't get anywhere near that.
No.
Wow.
So let's kind of get into this some of the concerns that she has
right.
and some of the concerns mm-hmm. she mentions and they are concerns that other people have talked about, so she's not alone here with some of these concerns
uh-huh.
and I think we've talked about some of these before as well. The first is that smartphone use decreases attention span.
Yes.
Now, again, kind of going into keeping in mind some of the things that we were just differentiating here between heavy mm-hmm. users and average users, the idea that I like it that she says that it decreases attention span versus causes ADHD.
Right.
I don't like it when people say that, you know, technology causes ADHD.
Right.
Because,
it doesn't.
No, it doesn't. It may make us have a shorter attention span.
Right.
It doesn't give us ADHD.
Right. And people with ADHD face a bigger challenge with
right.
these devices.
Right.
But no, it's not a cause.
And it wouldn't be surprising if some of those people considered heavy users, that are considered heavy users, mm-hmm. are people with ADHD.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
So ADHD is a neurobiological
right.
thing that is there probably before you have your first phone.
Right.
So if you have ADHD, you have ADHD. The idea of it decreasing our attention span, I think, is valid because, you know, thinking back to the days of dial-up, right?
Yes.
That awful sound that would happen when you were dialing
on computers.
On computers,
oh,
right?
Yes.
To think of, you know, you would click connect and then you would go and make a pot of coffee and you would kind of cook some things and you'd come back and you'd say, yes, I want to connect. And then you go back. I mean, it would seem like it would take forever.
Mm-hmm.
now, you know, if a page isn't loading
right.
within a couple of seconds, we're like, what's going on?
You start banging on the keys.
People start yelling at me through this office suite. Is the internet down? You know,
they do.
Yeah.
No.
So,
wow.
It's truth day. So, but no, it does happen if it's not loading up fast enough. So when we have these, our phones where information is available immediately,
yes.
we get impatient.
That's right.
We text someone, we expect them to respond pretty quickly. When we post something on any form mm-hmm. of social media, we expect an immediate response or we look for responses immediately. And, mm-hmm. you know, so it does likely have an effect on our attention span.
Shortens your attention span.
Yeah.
Right. Because you expect things to happen very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And I think that something that goes along with this that I don't think that she mentions in any of the other areas. And I did a talk or I was part of a forum the other day on social mm-hmm. media, and somebody mentioned this in there, and it's something that made me think. And that is, because it shortens our attention span, one of the other things that it might do is it might interfere with our ability to delay gratification.
She mentions that in here about delayed gratification.
Was it in here too? I could not remember because they were talking about it in the forum, and mm-hmm. I could not remember if how she mentioned it here. But
right.
So yeah, it this shortened abbreviated attention span
right.
has an impact. It has a role.
It does, and you can see that if you are, and we all know heavy users,
mm-hmm.
I mean, we all know people right. who are heavy users, and you can see that in these what she's talking about,
right.
the decreased attention span. One of the things that I notice with attention span is that when I talk to a heavy user, I can feel their impatience,
right?
Because I'm not responding fast
right.
enough. They're used to electronic responses
mm-hmm.
that are immediate
mm-hmm.
and short,
right?
And that's not how we speak to each other.
Right.
And I can feel their impatience as I'm speaking.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, or they'll say, can you hurry up and just get it over with?
Right.
And that's not how we talk to each other.
Right.
But that is how we communicate digitally.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So
the second one is also a concern.
Yeah.
And that concerns us as educators.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
People, did you know that, you probably did, Facebook is the largest news source in the country.
Right.
Did you know that?
Mm-hmm.
But Facebook doesn't fact check.
Right. It's a non-peer-reviewed source.
Right. There's yeah. nobody checking sources.
Right.
There's nobody checking accuracy. But it is the most used mm-hmm. news source in the country.
Right.
The solution for that is for them to have fact checkers.
Right.
That would make them the Ministry of Education and Ministry of Information in the United States.
Yeah.
Facebook would become, in effect, they would become the Ministry of Information.
That would be a fantastic title to have.
Can you imagine?
Yeah.
I mean, talk about unintended consequences.
Yeah.
So Facebook is talking about fact checking. They're
right.
they're beginning to move in that direction.
Well, with all this information, all this stuff coming out about, you know, Russia's involvement in the election and all that kind of stuff, it makes sense. We didn't tell them what the second one was, though. The second one is that users demonstrate an over-reliance on a digital information source.
That's right.
So we have. Yeah, well, it's related to the Facebook thing that you're talking about, but you know, mm-hmm. there's blogs and there's you know, you can get an RSS feed for just about anything,
right.
and so it just comes right to your phone and you're reading it through any source, and the real concern I think is that you know there is no one fact checking any of these things, which on one side is fine. You know, people can write blogs and talk about whatever they want to talk about.
Wikipedia.
But, right.
It's not fact-checked, but it's edited at least.
Right, they're doing
something.
They're working to do better. But
mm-hmm.
the real concern is that at the same time, we're not doing anything to teach people how to differentiate valid information from invalid information.
Because
fact
now,
from opinion.
You Google it,
mm-hmm.
okay? Google takes you to websites.
Right.
Websites can be .gov, .com, .org. And we tell our
or
students...
Or just about anything.
Right. And we tell our students, be careful with .com.
Mm-hmm.
because it may or may not be accurate. It could just be propaganda. It could be just an advertisement. Com means they're trying to sell you something.
Right.
Okay. And so we warn our students about that. But in day-to-day communication, nobody's thinking about that. You go to Google, bang, go to this website, bang, get your information.
Right.
And people are becoming reliant on that information gathering process.
Right. But you still now, and what you were saying has been very true for the most part over the past few years, but now you can get a .org without it being an organization, without it being anything else.
So, exactly. So you still don't know.
Right.
Right.
Your safest bet is with .gov because then you know it's a government-sponsored source that's going to hopefully have more accurate or at least information that can be backed up. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I mean, you don't know what's out there. And we're saying that as .com owners. We have... You know, several websites, and we've had a .org in the past, but it was it consisted of our blogs and our podcasts and things like that. But so you're going to have some sources that have valid and useful information. You're going to have those that don't, and we're not doing much to help people differentiate.
We talk about we have to teach. This, however, we should be teaching students, but I'm not sure that anybody will listen because we have TV news programs
that do the same thing
today that do exactly the same thing, and people don't make those analytical decisions. They're not, and she talks about this in the paper that we are becoming less analytical in our thinking, and we're trading careful analysis. For speed.
Right. Okay. And all of this leads very nicely into the third point that she makes here, which is that smartphone users are increasingly unable to think for themselves.
Right. That is absolutely true.
And I think, to me, this is not just an issue with smartphones. This is an issue with media.
Media in general.
In general. Because what happens is we unknowingly, because of the way the system has started to work, the only information that we receive is information related to what we have searched. So, if you go onto Amazon and you search for a particular item, the next time you go to Facebook, there's going to be an ad for that item in the margin, because the way that all of the cookies and the just the bots work, it keeps all that stuff connected. So when you look up information about a particular event or a particular issue or a particular problem, you're going to the information that you receive is going to be somewhat skewed in a direction consistent with other things that you've looked at and other things that you've explored.
Amazon is not the only outfit involved in that.
Right. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Data mining is a industry.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we unknowingly, many people who think that they're very well informed are still only getting information from a restricted,
limited sources.
Yeah.
Right. So you
got to be careful of that.
That's right. But we have become, and we don't think for ourselves.
Right.
Because if you're shopping today, all you have to do is take a photo. Should I buy this? Which color should I get?
Right.
College students, when they leave home, they walk out of class, and if they have a question or they need to make a decision, they simply text or call their parents who are near their phones.
Right.
And so the college students don't need to solve their own problems because they have cell phones.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I guess that's the most direct relationship to what she's talking about here. And I was, I don't know, for some reason it went into my mind about politics and all that kind of stuff, because everything just gets
propaganda.
Skewed. Maybe it's because you said propaganda. That's what kind of made my brain go in that direction. But see, that's what happens. You're like Amazon. You make me think in a particular way, even if I don't want to think that direction. So, but we aren't able to think for ourselves because the information that we get guides us in different directions.
Right.
And you're right. We've written about that in our column before that, I remember when I was in when I was a kid, my parents would send me up to the store to buy, mm-hmm. you know, a loaf of bread.
Right. That's right.
So I'd ride my bike up, you know, a mile away and go get a loaf of bread. And if they didn't have the brand of bread that we typically ate, I had to make a decision. Either I was going to ride back home for a mile, get in trouble because I didn't have the bread, and then have to go back and get it, and then come back. Or I had to make a decision: which one looks the closest, which one can I afford with the money that I was given? Mm-hmm. You know, I had to make a decision for that. Now, kids, people don't have to make that decision.
No, mm-mm.
You know, everything is provided with this simple, a simple text or a quick phone call, and we don't have to make decisions.
And I don't have to wait. I don't have to wait for a response.
Right. Mm-hmm. It's immediate. So,
which creates the fourth problem.
Right. A lazy mind.
A lazy mind.
Right. So smart. Our table is so squeaky.
Why is it squeaky?
I don't know.
All of a sudden it's squeaky.
I don't know.
I'll put my hands on the table. That's surprised even me.
Yeah.
And I'm usually
unsurprised.
Lazy mind.
Yes. So smartphone use contributes to a lazy mind. Mm-hmm. Again, I think that this is a really interesting perspective, an interesting idea. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't have to think.
Right.
You don't have to make decisions. So, you know, you don't have to think for yourself. And, you know, the natural progression to that is you really don't have to think that much.
Right.
If you don't know something, it's just a quick search. You got it.
Right. And also this, she mentions here, and that's why I was reading it a little more carefully. She mentions the checking habit, creating the lazy mind, because we have this, you know, this repetitive going into, you know, when you go into your phone, you know, there's this constant checking. So you don't have to remember much. You don't have to think much because you always have an answer. There's always an answer easily accessible.
Right. Okay. Now, here's a place that I think it's important that we throw in the possibility of some positives. Okay. And that is there. What is the consequence of not having to think, not having to keep that some of that information in our active memory, in our active mind? You know, I still remember my home phone number from when I was growing up.
Sure.
I still remember my grandmother's phone number. I still remember my aunt's phone number. But I don't know my kid's current phone number because I don't have to. It's in my phone. Now, I probably should, because if something happened to my phone, then I wouldn't be able to get in touch with them. But I don't know it. I know my wife's phone number.
It's funny, because my kids are just a few years older. My oldest child is just 2 or 3 years older than your oldest child. I have 3 children. I know the phone numbers of the older two. Mm-hmm. I don't know the phone number of the younger, of the youngest child, who's 18. Because their numbers I had to dial when we had flip phones.
Right.
I never had to dial hers. It was in my contacts.
Right.
And I just, you know, had to hit the screen. And
what about your number? What about your? Those are your three current kids. You have.
And I don't know Jonathan's.
Jonathan, who's a well into adulthood. Mm-hmm. You don't know his number.
No, because.
His probably changed a lot.
His changed.
Yeah.
When he got a cell phone, and I never had to call it, because when he got his cell phone, I had my cell phone.
Yeah.
And I never had to memorize his number.
I
don't know my mother's phone number.
I don't know my stepdaughter's. Yeah. So we don't have to remember those phone numbers anymore. And there is, again, I think that there's pros and cons to that. I think that there's the idea of limited storage space in our brains, and so we don't have to store that information, which can be a positive. Again, it can lead to problems if something happens to our phone and we need to call somebody and you don't know anybody's phone number.
Right.
That's a problem. But otherwise, you know, it's information that we don't need to store.
Right. And it is a bit of a clutter, and especially today. There was a time when you only had to remember 3 or 4 or 5 phone numbers. Today, you'd have to you don't have the memory capacity for your contact list.
Right, just your family, you would have what, 6 people?
Phone for everybody.
Right. 6 numbers that you have
Not
to remember.
Not one home phone. You have however many family members you have. So, so it would become an excessive memory burden.
Right. And the same thing with calendars. Right. Like I one of the things I love about my phone is that I don't have to keep my calendar in the front of my mind to remember, this is what I got to do today, this is what I got to do tomorrow. I just put it in my calendar, and my calendar will remind me. Now, again, we become dependent on our phone for those reasons, so there are some potential consequences for that. But, you know, it also limits and sometimes completely eliminates the risk for missing a meeting or missing some obligation that you have.
No, I think the calendar, the notes, all that stuff, I think those are the advantages of this device.
Right.
The fact that we don't have to have our desk calendar, we don't have to have our computer on. We have there's no reason to miss a meeting today.
Right.
Because it's on you, if it's right there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you get reminders, you know, that tells you, hey, 3 o'clock, you have to be someplace.
Right.
So I think those are all positives of the cell phones.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure I would trade those conveniences
for the
disadvantages that might accrue.
Right.
I wouldn't trade those. There are some things I think we should think seriously about.
Yeah, I think that, you know, all of those conveniences would fall into the category that she has here of creating a lazy mind.
Mm-hmm.
But those are, you know... We still want to be thinking.
That's right.
We just don't want to be overburdened with storing information that we just don't need to store.
Right.
That makes sense?
Right.
Okay.
Now, this is sort of repetitive.
Next one?
Hijacks concentration.
Right. Know. Research finds that smartphone use hijacks concentration. Yeah.
You said research shows.
Right.
One of the things that I want to remind listeners, one of the reasons we chose this particular article is that each of the things we're discussing, I think there are about 10 things that she mentions, each of these things is backed by research. Okay, this is not just her opinion. This is not her diatribe against cell phones or grinding an axe. There is research supporting all of the things that we're talking about here.
Right.
And that's what I liked about this. For the example, the hijacking concentration came from a 2015 study from Florida State.
Right.
Okay. So these are nicely researched and they're studied. I won't talk about facts.
Right.
I almost said alternative facts.
But what
this is not fake news.
What I like about what she wrote here is she's not saying that that you can't concentrate when you have it. What she's saying is that if you're in the middle of a task and you get a notification ding.
Right.
It pulls your attention, even if it's just momentary, it pulls your attention, then you have to go back to the task, and so then you have to get refocused on the task, and so it interrupts task performance.
Mm-hmm.
It's not saying that you're incapable.
Right.
Again, not saying that it creates ADHD or anything like that. It's just saying it pulls you away from what you're doing, and then you have to refocus and reorient when you come back.
Mm-hmm.
And that's very true.
Right.
So... Now, the next is the mere presence of smartphones nearby reduces cognitive capacity.
Uh-huh.
So this is from a study from this year, 2017,
this year,
by Adrian Ward. In two experiences, that they explored what they called the brain drain.
Brain drain.
Mm-hmm. And this is a hypothesis is that having a smartphone nearby, quote, may occupy limited capacity cognitive resources, thereby leaving fewer available resources for other tasks, while also undercutting cognitive performance.
And what that means is, if you have your cell phone nearby and you're trying to do some other task, that cell phone is going to be a distraction.
Right.
Okay. And this is what we tell children about homework.
Right.
Okay. They say, no, I need my phone for my homework. I have to use it for this, that, or the other. And our parents argue that, no, your phone is really a distraction.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really what we're talking about here, is that you should be focused here, but your phone keeps competing for your cognitive capacity.
Right.
And the phone is so compelling that you're almost always going to go to the phone rather than the task you should be working on.
So what does this remind you of?
Nothing.
From back 20 years ago, 30 years ago. We said the same thing about TV.
Oh, don't do your homework with the TV on.
With the TV on, right.
Don't listen to music while you're doing your homework.
Right, right. And so if you're doing your homework at the kitchen table, mom or dad or somebody's in the television room watching TV, that constant distraction is there. And so it's not a new thing. It makes sense. It makes sense that it's sitting there, that it's going to, you're going to have some attention drawn to it, especially if you have the sound on or if you have notifications on so that it keeps lighting up and that kind of thing.
I had a student tell me the other day she was going to go to Starbucks to do her work.
Mm-hmm.
You
couldn't do that.
Oh, no. No, I wouldn't, no. Mm-mm. No. I wouldn't get, no, I'd be looking around and talking and mm-hmm. moving around. No.
Yeah.
I couldn't.
No. But you know, the idea that, and I think it is, again, we have to say for some people, that's very, very challenging for them. But there are people who, some of that extra stimulation isn't as much of an impact on them.
I think that the ding that you got text
sure.
is going to draw you
it's
every
It's going
time.
To pull your attention. I mean, right, just, absolutely.
We have really, I mean, that is clear. That's happened.
Yeah.
So if you're reading a passage and you get a text,
right,
you're going to stop reading and go to the text.
Right. Yeah, no, what I'm referring to here is what they say is the mere presence, it just being there.
No.
Mm-hmm. I don't know that it being there is going to have that same effect on everyone.
Right.
I think there are certainly people, there are certainly those who, mm-hmm. if it's around, they just can't pull themselves away mm-hmm. from it, and it requires so much of their attention
right.
that they have to attend to everything.
Right.
But yes, the dings or the light up notifications, mm-hmm. those kinds of things, it's going to pull most, if
right.
not everyone's attention to it. So
mm-hmm.
yes, that in those cases, absolutely.
Right.
So,
highly distracting. Yes,
yeah.
We
so,
talked about that.
Studies and surveys mm-hmm. have proven that smartphones are highly distracting.
Right.
I feel like we've mentioned that one
yeah,
a number of times
that.
Now.
So we know it's distracting. It robs us of our attentional capacity. And those are sort of repetitive things. It occupies... The one I struggle with is occupying cognitive capacity.
Right.
Because I think if you're using your phone,
mm-hmm.
you're in your phone... it's taking up cognitive capacity that you might could use for something else, but
mm-hmm.
I'm not sure that that.
Yeah, I have a little bit of a difficulty with the that it makes the lazy brain and it makes I have a little bit of a hard time with that one.
Yeah, because I don't want to have to remember all those numbers,
right.
Or street addresses. Why
right.
should I memorize everybody's
yeah.
street address and zip? You know, that's where the convenience I think
right.
Factor comes in. So I don't
yeah.
have any problem with that.
Yeah.
I do have problems with this one.
That anxiety and sleep problems are other common consequences of obsessive smartphone use. Yeah.
Because the heavy users are using their phone more hours per
mm-hmm.
day. They're the people who are like, I turn my phone off at night.
Yeah.
I don't need an alarm clock.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's one advantage. But I turn it off because I don't want to have an interaction after a certain time every month.
Mm-hmm.
I want to, it's part of my sleep hide at night.
Yeah. You said every, after certain time of the month.
Oh, no. No, I sleep more than once a month. Doesn't look like it, but I do. So, thank you. My brother said I look tired. So, I'll perk up. Yes, a certain time of the night. I don't want any more stimulation because now
right.
now I have to get ready to sleep.
Right.
And I don't want the stimulation, but heavy phone users tend to keep their phones with them and
right.
keep their phones on all the time.
Mm-hmm.
My children constantly tell me, oh, I ran out of battery. My phone died.
Right.
How can your phone die? Because they're always living on 10 or 12% because
mm-hmm.
they're constantly using their phones.
Mm-hmm.
And then they don't charge them at night. They use them at night.
Right.
Okay. So they're constantly dying. But I turn mine off
mm-hmm.
so it doesn't bother my sleep. But she puts anxiety and sleep together.
Right.
Okay.
Which is interesting.
What about the anxiety part?
Yeah.
I think cell phones create anxiety.
I think it has the potential of...
You know what your problem is?
What?
You use a cell phone correctly. You use it... You're a heavy user.
No, I don't think so.
I think you are. You're playing games.
Mm-hmm.
You have a watch.
Mm-hmm.
You're constantly connected,
uh-huh.
but your use doesn't interfere with everything else that you do.
Right.
Okay, that's the difference.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't use yourself as a model.
What?
Because you're atypical. You are atypical because you use your cell phone.
So you said all of that just to call me atypical.
In part, but I'm not finished. You use your cell phone as a tool, mm-hmm. like you use your computer.
Right.
Okay. And it doesn't take over your life. Here's what it is. You're in control of your cell phone. Mm-hmm. Your cell phone doesn't control you.
Right. Right.
That's what I'm trying to say.
And I think that, to me, the anxiety aspect of it is mm-hmm. is maybe somewhat of a chicken or the egg.
Your phone does.
Because if a person, it can, I believe it can exacerbate anxiety.
Okay, so you have an anxious person. They're probably going to be made more anxious
yes.
by the cell. They're not going to be able to ignore the ding. They're
Absolutely.
Not going to be able to ignore a text.
They're going to have a very difficult time pulling away from it. If they send a message or if they post something, it's going to be difficult for them to pull themselves away from it without check, because they want to check the status.
Right.
They want to check to see how many likes it has, and they want to check all those things, and that increases their anxiety.
And conversely, a heavy user could become anxious about mm-hmm. keeping up.
Right.
I don't. People tell me, my wife will tell me, well, I texted you, but you didn't respond. That means I didn't respond immediately.
Right.
Okay. Because I can't always respond.
Right.
There are times when I can't respond for several hours.
Right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday, if I'm teaching, for example,
right.
I'm not going to respond to anything for at least 3 hours.
Absolutely.
Okay? So.
Yeah, I send a text because we see patients in blocks
right.
for the most part. Right.
Mm-hmm.
We start and then we see patients back to back until we have a break for lunch, and then we see mm-hmm. them back to back until we're done for the day.
Right.
When I'm starting with that first patient, if I'm having any communication with my kids or with mm-hmm. my wife or anybody, I text, say, going in with patients now.
Right.
I'll try to check in between if I can. Otherwise, I'm not available for the
right.
next little while.
And they know our teaching schedule.
Right.
So my family knows that on Wednesday and Thursday night, mm-hmm. I mean, you can text me, but I'm not going to respond until sometime.
I like calling you while you're in class.
Sometimes I take your calls in class.
I know.
I told them about you last night. I told
yeah.
my class about you. Yes. But I think that I see people becoming anxious when their phones are nearby, that they
mm-hmm.
that they feel that they have to respond.
You can see their eyes dart to it. Yeah.
And you can feel their impatience with
right.
you. You know?
But I just don't know if it's if the phone created the anxiety or if the anxiety
yeah.
was there and is just now focused on the phone.
I think if
and
you
if they
have,
didn't have the phone, it would be focused on something else.
I think it's just like ADHD.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you have ADHD, a phone could add to your problems.
Right.
If you have anxiety, it could add. Even if you have depression,
mm-hmm.
it could
mm-hmm.
add to your problems. So, yes, I think it could make any condition worse.
Yeah.
Exacerbate any
mm-hmm.
underlying condition.
Yeah.
And cause,
yeah.
I'm not sure that it causes them. I think
mm-hmm.
what it causes, I think the biggest causative factor is that it could result in interfering with person-to-person relationships.
Right.
I mean,
and that sort of gets us into this
right.
last one, that,
right.
that work engagement or just the engagement with
right.
others is interfered by excessive use.
I think supervisors must be going crazy because you know that everybody has cell phones on their desks.
Right.
And it's cutting into work time.
Right. And you see those articles that come out all the time, you know, U.S. workers spend, you know.
This many hours. They're almost on their phone as much as they're working.
Right.
They separate, half the time is spent working.
And you look at anybody's computer throughout the day, and there is always a tab for Facebook and
right.
stuff. And so you know that's happening.
It would be such a fascinating study to find out how much time is spent on Facebook.
Yeah.
Or shopping.
There are out there. I haven't looked at the recent
But they're
data.
Estimates, right?
Oh, yeah.
Because people
oh,
aren't
yeah.
going to admit it.
Oh, yeah,
yeah. So
sure.
they're underestimates. But
yeah.
No, that it's cutting into work time for sure.
Yeah.
You know, for
yeah.
students and for workers.
Yeah.
So, so if you are a heavy phone user,
think about these things. Think about what impact it's having on your life. I think that, well, we've said this many times before. Smartphones aren't going anywhere.
No.
You know,
no.
it's...
They're going to become better and faster and
right.
more useful.
And so they're going to be more intrusive, more included in our life as we go.
You know what? It hit me the other day. I don't know why I was thinking about it. I think it was the portable phone issue came up for some reason. People used to have conversations about, well, I use my cell phone for this and my landline for this.
Right.
Most people don't have landlines anymore.
I don't.
There's no need to have a landline. And I forgot that there was a time when...
Do you still have a landline?
No.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
No, we haven't. We have a phone somewhere in our house, but they're in drawers now. And we don't. Because nobody calls that number.
Right.
Nobody, we don't use it for anything.
Yeah.
And so that's gone the way of the dinosaur.
Right. You know,
the landline. But I'm most concerned about fact-checking.
Yeah.
I think that people are relying on, and as you say, it's skewed to begin with because of data mining, because we know where you are and we know what you're looking at, so we're going to feed you that stuff.
Right.
You know, you bought this, so you may be interested in this.
Right. Right, and the last time you looked up that, you were also looking at this, so here's how this...
Yeah. Yeah. So you're getting skewed inputs, okay? And we tend to we want fast rather than accurate. We're willing to accept fast without checking to see if it's really accurate.
Right.
And we saw that, and we have heard about this over and over again from the last presidential election, that there was so much fake news.
Right.
And people talk about alternative facts and all these things because we're just flooded with information. And it is difficult. Granted, it is difficult to sort out what's accurate and what's not accurate.
Right.
You know? And so, but we have that obligation, especially if you are college educated, if you're a thoughtful person. Yeah. I think we all have the obligation to be careful about what we call accurate information.
It always reminds me about, and I wish that I could get the clip just so I could put it into everything that we talk, whenever we talk about these things, but the clip from Inside Out, when they're on the train and the two boxes fell over and all the things mixed up and some were fact. One box was labeled facts, the other box was labeled opinions, and she goes, I just put it in, nobody can tell the difference anyways.
That's right. Nobody knows the difference anyway.
It's, you know, it's true, and so it's really important that we, you know, to battle that, the only thing we can really do is to teach how to do research, teach how to investigate information.
That's right.
Don't take the first news source that you get.
Right.
You have to look into it a little bit more. And maybe that's a place where, okay, it creates a lazy mind.
Right.
Maybe that's what we're talking about there, is that the lazy mind is that we're just going to take the first bit of information that we get and we're just going to use that and go with that instead of really looking into things. I mean, there's just so much information at your fingertips when you have your cell phone with you, your smartphone.
That's right. And people are using cell phones as computers.
Right.
Okay, that's the other thing, that this device is serving more than one function. Mm-hmm. And we tell parents that, that please remember that this is your child's record player,
right?
What we called a record player, or a... You have that look again.
I did. You there was have, no look.
I know what that look means.
There was no look. Is there a phonograph?
I'll talk to you.
A-track?
I will talk to you now. No, it's whatever you call it. I said record player. Never mind. No, it is their source of music.
Right.
Okay.
TV.
It is their TV. It is their movie channel. It's their alarm clock.
Yeah.
It's their calendar. It's their telephone. It's their everything. Okay.
Yeah.
So they're doing multiple tasks with this thing. So you say, well, she spends too much time on her phone. That's because her phone does so many tasks that we used to separate. Those tasks used to be separate, differentiated.
Right.
Now it's the same device that does all those tasks.
Right.
At the same time, what I worry about the most is the damage that these phones are doing to personal relationships and person-to-person, what I would call etiquette.
Mm-hmm.
If you are on your cell phone, and this may be generational, if I see a person on her cell phone, I will wait until she's finished because the cell phone feels like another person.
Mm-hmm.
So if you were talking to somebody else, I wouldn't dare interrupt the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
To me, the cell phone is whoever's there is a person.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're talking to that person, I'm going to wait until you're finished.
Right.
And if you're talking to me, then pay attention to me. And when I'm finished, you can do whatever else you want to do. But don't stop. Don't ignore me and go to this other person. So I think we're losing some I think we're losing the etiquette battle.
Right. Yeah.
And I don't know. Other people don't feel that way.
No, I agree. I think we're losing some of our social skills.
Yeah, we are. I think that's what's. Yeah. That's where I notice it the most.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But that wasn't listed in this.
No, this is just cognitive capacity. But it's distracting. It takes up space. But they are convenient.
They are. Mm-hmm. So, anything else that you wanted to add?
No, but I think we should talk more about this someday. I think we should also talk about the addiction factor.
Every week when we're working to put together topics and articles for the podcast, mm-hmm. just this is a little insider information for you guys. Dr. Richard always says we should do something about cell phone use. Because this is an important issue. This is something that we deal with patients almost daily. And so we have lots of issues with this. And so there's always things to talk about when it comes to
so this probably using cell phones. This isn't meant to be snide.
No. Okay. Were you taking it that way?
Oh, that's where I thought it was going.
I know.
I thought, here he goes again.
That's why I shifted.
Okay. You see what I'm up against.
Yeah, huh.
And it never, ever stops.
I could see you on the screen there, so I knew that he's thinking I'm going to go that way, so I'm going to throw a curveball.
I said, wait a minute, he sounds like he's serious.
Uh-huh. So.
It's World Series time.
It's World Series time.
So he's going to throw me off. Breaking curveball.
Yes. So, but that's it for today then, right?
Anything? Yeah.
All right. I got to go check my cell phone. Until next time, stay happy, stay healthy, and forget to be afraid.